I'm sure you'll agree that the people that you're emailing, that you're trying to get in front of, potential clients, suspects, if you will, they get a ton of emails from other sales reps trying to sell them stuff, right? I mean, like cutting edge stuff here I'm talking about. But I'm sure you'll also agree that it's real easy for all of us to kind of sound the same and even in many cases embrace things that are old, tired, and actually make us sound needy. So today, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So today we're going to be talking about email tactics that are old, tired, and make you sound needy. Now, one promise that I'm going to make you about today's podcast. You might like hear like the title of the podcast and say, okay, so this is going to be a rant, or it's going to be another know-it-all sales trainer thinking, you know, he's got it all figured out, making fun of the world, and really just offering us no substance. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I absolutely hate that stuff. So today, yes, I'm going to be poking some fun at some tactics, but right afterwards, I'm also immediately going to give you what I think would be a better way for you to approach some of these email tactics that are old, tired, and make you sound needy. So, in true New York fashion, if you haven't figured it out from this accent that follows me around like a shadow, I want to get right down to business with you today. So, the very first email tactic that really has to go. It's when we send basically the same email over and over again. And there's two different flavors to this one. The first one, I will tell you, I am a victim of this, right? I own a business and a lot of people want to sell me stuff. So I am a victim of this shitty tactic at least 2 to 3 times a week. And it's when basically somebody sends you an email and it's of like the intro email type of variety. And then a few days later, they forward me the same email that they did before, except they think it's different. Because they put just like they forward it and then in the message, it's something like, yeah, I just wanted to circle back on this message I sent you on Thursday, Paul. Or the ones that are like really creative, right? What they're doing is they're writing, why don't you give this a friendly bump to the top of your inbox? And then I even have some who have almost like an indignant tone. And it's, didn't hear back from you, Paul. It's almost like, you know what I mean? It's like, I kind of feel like they're saying to me, like we slept together and like I left in the morning without leaving them cab fare or something, like on the night table. I mean, like, what the hell? And it's just very, very typical. Seriously, I get at least 2 to 3 of these a week. And I'm a small business owner. I'm not like really, really well known out there. I want you to think, I mean, some of the people listening to this podcast, you work for medium to like large businesses. I want you to think about the people in your organization who are C-level and who are buyers. I mean, is it possible that they're getting this like an awful lot? So, and what happens when you just like you keep getting exposed to the same tired tactic, right? Like, well, it starts with like eye rolls, then you start ignoring people, and then basically what that person and everyone else has conditioned you to do is to not open that email or just like shut it down real fast. All of a sudden you see the flavor, yeah, just circling up, nope, sorry, delete. And it's like it's that quick. So that's one variety. And by the way, before I go on to the next variety of sending the same message, I really want to say something, all sarcasm aside, like I am not going to do any of my New York smartassery right now. I just want to speak from the heart and tell you that how in the hell can you position yourself as someone who can help a business owner with creative solutions to some very real challenges they have when you can't even change up a damn email. I mean, seriously, I want you to think about that. How can you possibly come across as a breath of fresh air to someone if you're basically saying the same thing over and over and over again? So that's the first one, forwarding the same message. The other one is just basically the same flavor of your message. And the flavor in sales that we communicate an awful lot is basically, I want to sell you something. Or it might be, well, I want to set an appointment with you to sell you something. So for both of these scenarios where you're forwarding the same message over and over again, or you just kind of like coming across with the same flavor over and over and over again, well, you really need to change it up. And first of all, like, don't forward the message. And I'm kind of backtracking here, but I feel a need to say this. I don't know about you, but when I get a forwarded message, it just has this unspoken way of saying, hey, dumbass, how about a response? And it just doesn't sit well with me. And it just kind of like gets my guard up a little bit more. And it's irritating, aside from that, if I haven't conveyed that yet. So what we want to do is we want to have more than one email. I mean, imagine that. I know this is why I make the big bucks. Like have more than one type of email, man. You should have an email repertoire, if you will. An email arsenal, if that repertoire thing was like a little bit too candy-ass for you. I mean, like, you need to have an arsenal of different emails. So I want to give you a few ideas, and I covered this in last week's podcast, but what the hell, man? I'll go over it again because I love you guys. Before I give you each and every one of these, I feel like I'm delaying, like I have something to hide here. Like suddenly I went into politics. I'm not going to answer things directly with you guys. But I want you to think in terms of a courtship. And in a courtship, you wouldn't every single time say, hey, let's go to Starbucks. Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, let's go to Starbucks. And then, like, you call them next week and you say, hey, you know, let's go to Starbucks. Hey, I'm at Starbucks. You want to join me? I mean, after a while, it would get pretty damn boring. And let's face it, as much as I love Starbucks, it's not that good. And you know what? It would be like, seriously, like me, I love my cigars. But it's just like if every time you want to meet me over at the cigar lounge, it's like, oh, come on, man, enough. Like, you got me sick of this stuff already. But anyway, so a few different ideas for you to think about. Well, I mean, the first one, speaking of ideas, I mean, like, instead of emailing them with the same message, I want to sell you something, how about sending along an idea? Seriously, send them an idea. And I guarantee you that, in fact, if you really want to do a fun experiment, go to somebody in your company who is on the receiving end of a lot of sales emails, like somebody against C-level, somebody who is a buyer, somebody in purchasing, procurement, you know, that kind of thing. Go to them and say, hey, I'm just curious. Like, do you get a lot of emails from salespeople? And they're going to say, yeah, is this a trick question? Of course I do. Then I want you to say to them, hey, like, of all those sales messages you get, how many of them contain a no-strings-attached idea that somebody said, here, I don't want anything in return. This is for you. And again, they're going to say, what is this, a trick question? I get, like, exactly none of those. Seriously. They got lots of people trying to sell them stuff, but nobody ever offers an idea. And let's be clear about this. I'm not saying go ahead and give away the shop. I'm just saying give them an idea. Like, based on your research. Like, hey, you know what? Like this is for you. Like, I thought of you, and I thought this might come in handy. Also, some kind of resource sending along. And what I mean by that, again, no strings attached. It could be a report that you came across. It could be a really cool website. It could be an app that you found. And of course, it could be things that your company puts out to help people. Now, I want to be very clear about something. Right about now, a lot of my friends in all different industries, but particularly the printing industry, will tell me, yeah, well, we send out resources all the time. We send out a newsletter. I'm saying above and beyond the newsletter shit. Seriously, it's like a lot of people do that. I'm not saying it's a bad move to send out a newsletter. I'm just saying don't think that that gets you off the hook. And many times the newsletter is coming out from marketing. And it's coming out, whether it be email or sent out through snail mail, but it's really not promoting your expertise. And it really doesn't come across as if it were from you. It seems as though it came from the people in your marketing department. But also, how about an email where you invite them to something? It could be an industry event. It could be a local networking type of thing. When I teach networking skills to companies, one of the things I say to them that worked very well for me, and I ripped it off of a sales rep who was very, very successful, how about hosting your own types of networking events? And watch what happens when you start inviting people that way. Watch how many people start to take your calls who are blowing you off when you're calling up. And it's noticeable that you're not calling them to sell them something, but now the flavor of your phone call or your email could be, hey, you know, Paul, I wanted to invite you to this. I have this group of salespeople who get together once a month. We talk about sales. We talk about challenges out here in the New York area. And I was really thinking, man, you really need to be at this meeting with your expertise. Boy, could we really benefit from that? And I'd like to think, you know, with the people that we have coming here, that you'd benefit too. You see, that's a different flavor email than if I just said, hey, you want to buy something? Quick timeout. Right about now, you'll have like a wonderful cliche that like people love to throw around. That's why you have to provide value. I mean, and that's like another thing that's like so tired in like the sales training circles. Nobody ever tells you how to provide that value. If you want to know how to provide value, because I don't think anybody listening right now is going to say, I sound like I was getting emotional. I was actually choking right there. I wasn't crying. Like I promised myself I wouldn't cry when I talked about value. And here I am. You guys broke me down. You know, talk amongst yourselves. But I mean, seriously, it's if you want to know how you provide value, well, I've given you some ideas already, like send along an idea, send along resources. Then also, too, inviting them to something, whether it be industry event, a trade show, something that you're hosting, something that your company's hosting. Maybe you guys are like doing a lunch and learn or a webinar or something. And if you guys don't do those things, you should be talking with your manager and talking with the people in your marketing department, because that is a great way to grow your list. It's a great way to, again, quote unquote, provide the value, position yourself and your company as experts. Lots of great things there and a great opportunity to change up your messaging. This next one has a lot of different flavors. Not going to give it all away to you. Sorry. Yeah, I know. Shame on me for wanting to pay the bills, right? But sent along, I call them evidence emails. Evidence emails. Evidence is used to help make you more believable and credible and to reduce and or eliminate things like doubt and skepticism and even heading off an objection before it ever like is voiced and shared with you. So we use evidence to be more believable and credible. And let's stop there for a second. You know, there is a, here I go again with cutting edge thought leadership. It, when it comes to credibility, we have a serious trust issue with the sales profession. And if you think I'm out of line in saying this, I mean, you've got to know that. I mean, even other salespeople don't trust other salespeople. And the example I always give, I mean, if you think I'm kidding, you walk into a store, you're looking for a certain type of thing, like a department store. Somebody says, can I help you? And you say, oh, no, I'm just looking. No, you weren't just looking. You came in there to buy a suit, or you came, you just want to like get the lay of the land first and just maybe observe the salesperson in their natural habitat. that, like, you know, like we're like on Animal Planet or some shit. Behold, the salesperson. Notice how he uses his wit and charm to close that very difficult senior citizen over there in the automotive section. I mean, it's like that. I feel like somebody like with the more sophisticated voiceover would be doing that, but that was my crack at it, and that's why you guys will know that I can never, ever, like, quit my day job. But anyway, I mean, so when it comes to evidence, there's lots of ways that we can prove what we're saying and build trust with people. And just, you know, I think there's this sense about us in sales that, well, you get paid to say great things about your company. In other words, who says so besides you, Castine? Or who says so besides you, Jane, if there is a Jane listening out there? So you want to use evidence emails, and there's all different forms of email, of evidence emails, ones where you provide a fact. Testimonials are one of my favorite things to use. So you can use a testimonial. You can also use even like a before and after picture, right? A link to a video where your product is being demoed or something like that. But there are lots of different forms of evidence. I'm actually going to be sharing those in the webinar that we're going to be doing later this week on March 8th. And I'll tell you guys about that later. But right now, we were talking about like providing value. Right now, first, I want to give you value first before I like give you any kind of a sales pitch. Another type of email that will break things up and help separate you from all these other people just saying, hey, you want to buy? Hey, you want to set up an appointment so you can buy? Let me forward a message where I sent you like a question you want to buy and forward it to you again and bump it to the top of your inbox, because then that'll be a different email. I mean, seriously, man, we got to like change it up. So one of the things that you could do is send a trigger event email. A trigger event email. Some people call it a compelling event email. But whatever you want to call it, potato, potato, you want to just call it money. I don't care. You want to call it the shit. You can, whatever you want. I won't get offended. But the deal is with a trigger event type of email. A trigger event is something that's going on in your prospect or even your client's world, by the way, in your prospect or your client's world, that would make them like more likely to need your product or service. So the example that I always give, because I think sometimes you got to step outside of your world and then you could see things really, really well. Imagine if you owned a tow truck company. Now, one way that you could try to drum up business is to just pick up the phone and start calling people in the area. Hey, I own this awesome tow truck company, and we do all kinds of repair work or whatever, and blah, 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 blah. You know, can I interest you in our 12-point maintenance system? And I will tell you, I mean, granted, you're going to probably say it a little better than I just did because I don't sell that shit. But I mean, seriously, you're going to say it a little better. I mean, you're going to make some sales that way. You're going to, sooner or later, statistically speaking, you're going to come across them. It says, oh my God, like, what do you have the place bugged? I need your help. So that's one way to go about it. And that's usually how we sell. We go after companies kind of just in a way like a shotgun blast. But there's a better way. What if now you knew exactly where people were on the highway who had their like hood of their car up, smoke pouring out of the car, and they had that pissed off, my car just broke down, and I've been really effing inconvenienced look. And you guys know the look I'm talking about because we've all had it. That is not a good look to have, and it's a bad feeling. If somebody came across in that moment when you were feeling that, and your car is broken down and smoke coming out of the car and you like were inconvenienced, what's the likelihood of you needing that tow truck and repair service? I'm going to say pretty damn high, right? As long as they didn't come across as a sleaze and want to rip you off. Maybe even like, you know, didn't have like a face tattoo, like a Mike Tyson type of like tattoo. Might even turn you off if it were Mike Tyson driving the tow truck. I don't know, right? I mean, say anything's possible on this podcast. But seriously, there would be a higher likelihood. But the same thing exists in business with trigger events. There are things that happen that, especially in your the people that you're targeting, that would make them more likely to need your product or service. So let me give you a few generic ones to get you thinking. And that really should be one of your takeaways today, not just to like do some thinking, I'm being sarcastic, but to actually think about what these trigger events would look like for the people you're trying to get in front of. So my friends in the printing industry, well, if you came across a business that was going to be relocating, I would say that's a trigger event. Why? Because a lot of their material is going to have to be updated with the new address on it, right? So that could be a trigger event. The same thing, if you notice a company that just updated their website and there's a whole new look, could be a trigger event because they didn't carry that like consistent look over to their collateral. So that could be something from printing, but like in my world, I'll give you something from sales training. If I see a company that's hiring, well, if they're hiring people, two things at least could exist. Number one, they could be expanding. If they're expanding and bringing on new salespeople need to be trained. But also if they're hiring, they're hiring for a reason. And one of those reasons could be turnover. Now, just as a little FYI for you, turnover costs companies anywhere from 100, turnover of sales reps costs companies anywhere from 150% to 300% of their salary. Now, a lot of the companies that I go after, believe it or not, are spending north of $1 million a year in turnover. I want you to think about that. Let that soak in. And the good news is that my sales training doesn't cost north of $1 million a year unless they want it to. And in which case, I am here to serve. And I will gladly provide them with services that are north of $1 million a year. But seriously, I can help that go away with sales training. But a few generic triggers to think about could be a product launch. It could be PR that's going on. It could be a company with legal problems. It could be a company that their earnings are good or bad even. So a lot of times we shy away from companies with bad earnings because we are taught, go where the money is. But I'm here to tell you, definitely go where the money is. But what happens is with that is you'll find that like the pack always runs with the pack, right? Just like always in the same direction. Well, by all means, run in that direction, but kind of do like, hey, pack, I'll catch up to you because I just want to mosey around here for a minute. And then you go check out some of those companies that are hurting, because I'm here to tell you that when people are nice and comfy and life is going well, they are usually not as quick to change. The number one catalyst for change is discomfort and pain. So if we find these companies that are hurting and we can align and we can show them how our products and services can either directly or indirectly impact either top line sales growth or bottom line savings, I am telling you, you're going to have somebody who's going to want to listen to you. The same way when we talked about that car that was broken down by the side of the road, there is a much higher probability of them needing what you sell. Otherwise, you know, either they know somebody that does what you do and they're on the way, or, you know, what the hell, I'm just gonna like, you know, offer it up to God and the universe, and maybe they will make my car work and make the smoke go away and get rid of that pissed off look on my face. So a trigger event type of email, and usually trigger event emails start off with a really cool phrase that I teach everybody. And the phrase is, I noticed that. So it could be, hey, I noticed that you guys are going to be relocating to Maryland, right? You're going to be relocating to like that crazy host of the Sales Playbook podcast neighborhood out in New York, right? I noticed that you have a new product. Your new X1000 is going to be launching in April. These are like, it's a nice way to get somebody's attention. So again, those are not all the ideas for you. but it's enough for you to just get away from sending the same damn email or embracing the same shitty date over and over again. I want you to think about courtship. So that's number one. Number two would be cliched emails. Cliched emails. This is something, again, we're talking about email tactics that are old, tired, and make you sound very needy. And they're very typical, too. I'm sure you'll agree. And if you don't agree, that's okay, too. I really don't care. But anyway, cliched emails. So one of them that's really cliched is like the whole like breakup type of email. And with the breakup type of email, it's kind of like, I've sent you some things, I'm not, and this isn't how it's worded, but here's the gist. I've reached out to you on numerous occasions, you're not getting back to me, and then basically just like closing the door, right? And just saying, you know, I guess it just isn't meant to be. Do you think like people are going to say, oh my God, please don't break up with me. I want to get your emails. I want the same shitty email forwarded to me over and over again. What was I thinking? I can't live without you. Please don't go. Right? I mean, do you really think that's going to happen? I mean, so they call it the breakup email, and it's worded a lot better than that. I know that there's a particular sales training company that likes to use the old, I'm going to have to close the file. I'm going to tell you, and by the way, I mean, I have tremendous respect for this sales training company, particularly because they probably made about $500 million more than I did last year. But I'm just going to tell you, I never bought into that I'm going to close the file shit. It's like when you say, it's basically saying, hey, you know, I've reached out to you. I'm not hearing back from you. Unfortunately, if I don't hear back from you, I'm going to have to close the file. Or maybe they say at this point, I guess I'm just going to have to close the file. I mean, again, do you really think somebody's going to say, oh, for the love of God, don't, I beg of you, do not close the file, please, I have mercy on me, and don't, Mr., you know, kind Mr., please don't close the file. I mean, I kind of felt like William Shatner there, by the way, but anyway, it's like, well, what the hell? I mean, it's like, who gives a shit if you close the file? Like, I mean, like, unless you have, like, come up with a way to have a giant file that you're going to slam shut and crush and, like, you know, squish your prospect, I just don't see how that is going to make me say, all right, you got me. I was bluffing. I was hoping you weren't going to want to close the file on me. Please. My wife told me, one more person closes the file on me and we're done, man. I'm already in deep shit with Mrs. Uncle Paul. So, I mean, it's I don't think people, like, sometimes people just don't know how they come across, and that is dicky. I mean, sir, it is just a dicky email to send. And when I say dicky, that is an acronym for discretionary, indignant, and other things that I can't think of right now. The other form of this kind of breakup email, or maybe it just has its own category, it's this whole abducted by aliens or witness protection email. And I'm sure you've heard of this. And I'm telling you, it's been around. And again, I'm not a huge company. I'm sure you guys know that about me. I'm not sitting here and I'm multi-billionaire Paul Castain, who, like, in his spare time, I felt like Bruce Wayne there. Like, I'm like off fighting crime and have all this money or whatever. I'm a small business owner. I'm just, you know, a humble working sales trainer here, not making all kinds of money. But I could if you guys bought more of my damn webinars, by the way. And we'll talk about that another time. But seriously, man, I get these emails like at least 2-3 times a week. And what happens is, like, you know, they email you and they say, hey, I haven't heard back from you and I've tried to email you over and over again. And I can only assume it's one of three things. Number one, you have no interest in what I'm saying. Number two, you've been really, really busy. And then maybe, like, number three is, like, you've been abducted by aliens and you need me to call 911 immediately or call NASA or whatever. I don't know. Or they might, like, that witness protection thing. Or, you know, you've gone into the witness protection program and, you know, it's wasting my time trying to get a hold of you. You're hidden away somewhere. So, like, instead of doing a cliched move like that, Instead, obviously, you want to look at what you've been sending along, and it's very similar to the email, to the tip that I gave you before, sending the same email. And if you're sending the same thing over and over again, and if in essence in this courtship you're offering the same, like, shitty date, as we called it before, well, that might be a big part of the thing. And if you try changing it up, like I mentioned before, that might, like, help you out a little bit. But in addition to that, basically what we're talking about here is, how do we get responses from people? How do we get them to actually reply to our email? Well, the other thing that you can do, this is going to blow your mind, and you're going to think it's like that sarcasm that I love to embrace coming out again, but I am dead serious here. If you want to get more responses, at the end of your email, I want you to ask a question. Seriously. If you want to get more responses at the end of your email, I want you to ask a question. You will find that most of us human beings were conditioned, since we were like toddlers, to, like, first of all, respond to the sound of our own name, but also respond to a direct question. Now, unless you are courting a politician, it usually is going to trigger an answer. So, like, try that. I mean, try that. Cutting edge stuff here. At the end of your email, ask a question. The other thing that you can do is you can utilize a pattern interrupt. And that's one of the techniques. It's not my technique, by the way. It actually comes out of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which has been around, like, forever, at least, you know, probably, I guess, probably about 40-something years right now, if we want to go back. About 50 years, if we want to get technical with it. And in some ways, it has a very bad reputation, and sometimes we look at it like sleazy snake oil tactics or whatever it is, but there's some really powerful things that you can learn from embracing those kind of tactics. But one of the things they talk a lot about, and Tony Robbins talks about this, is a pattern interrupt. Now, the thing you have to understand about human beings is we're creatures of habits and patterns. And what happens many times with emails and even your phone calls is that we create a really bad stimulus response type of thing. Let me give you an example. It could be you see my name in your inbox. Oh, there's Paul Castain emailing me again. The stimulus is the email. The response actually is going to be no response from you. You're either going to I'm not even going to read it. He's saying the same thing over and over again. He's always trying to, you know, get an appointment with me or sell me something or whatever. Screw him. The pattern could be, I call you up. And what do you see? You see the caller ID, Paul Castain. Stimulus, phone call. Response, let it go to voicemail, right? Just like decline the call, that type of thing. So what we want to do is break the pattern. We want to interrupt the pattern. And there's many ways that you can do it. And for now, one of the things that you can do, and it's actually a technique that we use a lot in public speaking, and it's called using a shocking statement. Using a shocking statement. And the shocking statement many times begins in the subject line and then kind of concludes or resolves, if you will, in the body of the email. So let me give you like a few different versions of this. And again, I'm not going to quit my day job to become a copywriter, but these are things that I've used and I've had clients use, or my clients have come to me and say, hey, I use this and got a great response from people. So one of them that I use in the subject line was, no thanks, I'm already making too many sales as it is. So let me say it again. No thanks, I'm already making too many sales as it is. So the whole thing that happens here, somebody reads something like that, and they're like, hey, what? Wait, like, what is he talking about? And it intrigues them to open up the email, and then I resolve it in the email by saying, said no sales rep ever. And I put all caps on ever, and I even bold it and italicize it so that it stands out. Like if you're scanning the email, it's like, whoa, it's like putting on the brakes, right? It's like, whoa, what was that? Let me check that out. So again, the shocking statement, no thanks, I'm already making like way too many sales as it is. And then you open it up, said no sales rep ever. And then I go on and I talk a little bit more and I tie it all together. So a lot of the time in this context, when we're using a pattern interrupt, we're starting something in the subject line. It's almost like, hey, let me give you like a crazy example. Did you ever watch, like, I was just watching Goodfellas the other day. I was watching it with my oldest son. I was watching it. And do you remember at the beginning of Goodfellas, it kind of starts out, they're driving along in the car, and they hear something, like, you know, rattling around in the trunk. They stop, and there's, like, a guy that they just beaten the hell out of that they thought was dead, and they were going to bury him. And he's like, no, please don't. And, like, they stab him and shoot him and stuff. And then they just go back to the beginning of the story. They don't tell you how it got to that, but they kind of like went forward to the end and intrigued you. In many ways, when we're using a pattern interrupt, we're kind of doing the same thing. Not necessarily jumping like to the end, but we're throwing something out there and then weaving the story and resolving it in the body of the email. Here's another one. I used when I launched my new website back in December of last year, right? Just a few months ago. What I did was, and I don't remember the exact subject line I used, but it was something like my, you know, farewell from Paul Castain or my time to say goodbye. Now, there's people, just so you know, who have been listening to me and subscribed to my blog now for 10 years now. I've been doing this. 10 years ago, I started doing it. Actually, 10 years this November. It'll be exactly 10 years then. So I have a lot of people following me on a lot of different platforms. They see that and they're like, oh my God, where's he going? Is he retiring? I didn't think he was that old. I knew, you know, that old ass was up there, but I didn't think it was like time to retire or whatever. And they open it up and then I weave the story and I say it was really after much thought, it was time and much thought and soul searching, it was really time to say goodbye to the old tired website. We've launched the new website and here are some of the things that you're going to be able to benefit from. The 3,000 plus blog posts, 300 free audio sales lessons, an on-demand training link on the website where you can access over, I don't know, 30 different on-demand sales training webinars that I have for you, like all that. So kind of it interrupted the pattern, but there's other ways to interrupt the pattern. And that's another thing that we'll be talking about in the webinar this week, just so you know. Last, but certainly not least, the third thing here that I want to talk about is I call it aggressive, using an aggressive cadence instead of embracing a courtship. So embracing an aggressive cadence instead of a courtship. So let me give you a few different examples of this because like the others, this has a few different flavors. My all-time favorite, and I say that with the utmost sarcasm because I really hate this tactic. I hate it with every ounce of my being. It has been around forever. And people just love to eat this tactic up. And again, as a business owner, I get hit with this one probably half a dozen to a dozen times a week. It's when, and this all falls under that aggressive cadence instead of a courtship. Somebody calls you and they leave a voicemail. And then they immediately email you with an email subject line, voicemail. First of all, I have a few issues with that. And the first thing is, you've just annoyed me and interrupted me twice inside of 3 minutes. I find that very, very needy. To me, it is short of being a stalker. And I can't imagine being in a courtship with somebody like that, where imagine you just like called them and then immediately they're like knocking at your door. I mean, seriously, or probably like vice versa, right? They're knocking at your door and like you don't answer and then all of a sudden, right? Then they are. So, I mean, it could just be very, very like aggressive and it could be needy and annoying and all those things. So the other thing is when you come out of nowhere and then you bombard them with communication. So the example I'm going to give, and I am going to call the company by name. I did end up by buying from them or whatever, and you know, I've got millions of great things to say about them, but PayPal did this shit to me. And I am a big power user of PayPal. For those of you who don't know me, I do webinars every 2 weeks, and I've been on this pace for 2 years, and before that, I've done courses, I had ebooks, all kinds of stuff, and I've been using PayPal since, I don't know if it was 2011 or 2012, I think it was 2011. So a tremendous amount of volume that I give them. And they launched a really cool product. And those of you who have PayPal and you do a good amount of business with them, this is like one of those unknown things about PayPal that you should know about. They have a really cool product called PayPal Working Capital. And what it is that if you're a small business owner and you use PayPal and you have a decent amount of volume, you could take out a loan for them. And what's really good about it, especially if you're a new business owner, your credit might not be like stellar, because they are, right? You're no longer like working in the mainstream anymore, and you're just starting out, so you're kind of a question mark. And you know the deal, a lot of banks and stuff, they don't want to touch you unless you're going to put up the house and all these things that the missus may not particularly like, or your husband may not particularly like. And what's really cool about PayPal Working Capital is that, I feel like I'm doing a commercial for them, is that you are, you know, if you hit like some of their qualifiers, they're not going to do a credit check on you. But if you have the volume with them, they're going to approve you. And the reason why they're going to approve you is because they're getting your money. So it goes through them first. So guess who they're going to pay first? They're going to pay themselves on your loan amount. You could select a percentage that you want to pay them back, because you know, it might be one of these things that if you said, all right, I'm going to pay you back $800 a month or $600 a month or whatever, you have different like cycles of your business where it's good and sometimes it's not. So you can select a flat percentage that every time you get a sale, they're just going to take it out of there. So it's pretty cool, right? So like, so I just like laid it out for you. So the minute I heard about this, I was like, oh man, this is like so cool. Heard about it a few years ago. It was right at a point where I wanted to invest in some more marketing materials and everything else. And like a true businessman, I just did not want to loan myself the money. I love the idea of other people's money. It's just a nice way to kind of like go about it. So I get an email from them. And later that day, I get a call from them. The next day, the same thing. The following day, I got two calls from them. Then I'm seeing all these things on the caller ID, the same number over and over again. It was coming out of like Las Vegas or something like that. Getting all these calls, all these emails, and it was just absolutely irritating. So now, here's the thing that I want to say to you. When you have somebody who is like aggressively getting in your space, does that make you want to embrace it, or does it make you get defensive? Does it make you retract and pull back? Well, that's what was happening, but it was very, very aggressive. And what really annoyed me about this is that inside of about a week and a half of this, I'm getting like these breakup type of things, you know, like where it's like, oh, I'm only going to be able to call you, whatever. And I'm like, wait a minute, you come out of nowhere, you bombard me with communication, and then you're acting all kinds of shitty as if like I contacted you and now like I'm playing hard to get. So I really didn't like that. But, and I, by the way, she didn't get the sale from me because I just didn't like her. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I really was interested in this. I was busy at the time, did not care for that sales rep. Why don't I reach out to them? And I did, and I had gotten a PayPal Working Capital loan. And I bought, actually, I put it to good use. I bought $10,000 worth of properly colored Sweethearts, because I absolutely effing hate it when I get a box of Sweethearts and there's all those shitty green ones and shitty yellow ones in there, where I think they should just basically be giving you purple and red and blue and that kind of stuff. So that's what I did with it. And I stand by it. And I didn't grow my business, but I did put on about 40 pounds. So that's my story. But anyway, so that's one form of this whole aggressive type of cadence. I'm going to give you one more. And it's too many emails. And This one I am going to, and hopefully you know me by now, I am a real straight shooter. This one is going to come with a little bit of a do as I say, not as I do, because I know that I send way too many emails. And before I get into like some of these other examples, I want to do some splaining, as Ricky Ricardo would say, why I send out too many emails. And some of it I got to scale back on even still after the excuse is done, but I stand by the excuse because it works. So, well, reason number one, and forgive me if this is tacky, I do make a lot of money doing it. And I'm not going to pull back on something where I'm making a tremendous amount of money for my business. If it's working, I'm going to do it. But the reason why I send out a tremendous amount of emails, and I would bet that you don't fall into this category, but it needs to be put out there. I do a new webinar every 2 weeks, and I cannot promote it by just doing one or two emails during that time. So there is, I am going to be sending out more emails on a regular basis because there's always a new event that I'm doing. Having said that, I still am going to be cutting back on that very, very soon. But let me give you some examples of people who have zero excuse. And I'm not going to give you the names of the company, but you'll probably be able to figure it out. One of them is a well-known steakhouse that has a really cool thing called the Bloomin' Onion. Can I be any more obvious here? And they might come from Australia. I don't know. But I get emails from them sometimes twice a day. And yes, like, if you looked at, like, the demographic and you looked at me and you had an idea of how, like, freaking rotund I am, I obviously love my food. There's no doubt. I love a good steak. I do not love a steak so much that I want two emails a day asking me to eat another steak. It's really not that cool to me to, like, it's not that awesome that I'd want to read about steaks once to twice a day. I'm just not going to be like buying that many steaks from them. Next, a well-known pizza chain did this, and they're sending me things every single day. I have no intention of buying Domino's every single day. For me, and I don't know, I don't think I'm like alone in this. Probably more likely to buy it over the weekend, but I bet you there's some of you out there saying, now during the week, you know, it's kind of a bitch working the job and you know, getting dinner on the table, whatever. But even so, is it every night like that? Like, you feeding your kids Domino's every damn night? To me, you know, it's the weekend. And also, too, I got to tell you the truth. Seriously, it really isn't that good a pizza. I mean, I live in New York. I had some awesome freaking pizza places, like, within about 2 minutes from me. I could, like, walk to every one of them. And if I did, I'd be a lot thinner. Putting that out there, too. But, I mean, seriously, I don't want to talk about pizza every day. I mean, if my cigar place did that shit every single day, I'd be mad at them. And I love cigars, man. I talked about cigars twice on this damn podcast. I don't want emails every effing day about cigars. Last but not least, excuse me for coughing in your ear. I will not edit that out. Last but not least, bought some flowers for my wife a few years ago and bought it online. And I forgot the name of this other floral company. They're well known now, but they weren't as big as like 800 Flowers or anything like that. And I made the mistake of buying from them once. And then every single day, I'm getting another email about flowers. I don't give a shit about flowers enough to want an email from you every single day. I said that was the last example. I'll give you another one. I buy French cuff shirts, monogrammed, and I usually record my podcasts from my study and the smell of fine mahogany and leather-bound books. Wasn't that a quote from Anchorman? I hope it was, because I really don't feel that way, and I'm recording this from a shithole right now. Not really my study, my war room. But anyway, they send me shit like probably five times a week. I mean, you really have to think about that. Under, like, even the power users of your product, I mean, they buying French cuff shirts five times a week? I mean, I don't want to buy it once a week. even once a week, right? Like, I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking you have to kind of look at what it is you're selling and frequency and all that kind of stuff. So here's, now that I've gone on and on and on a bit of a mini rant here, or a major rant, you really have to put some space in there to let things breathe a little bit. There's nothing wrong with keeping in touch with people, but if you're going to call somebody and then a second later, you're going to go and send them an email like, hey, idiot, I don't think you're capable of checking your voicemails or whatever. Or, like, it just gets, like, weird if you do that. What you really want to do is create a communication map. And this is another thing I talked about in last week's podcast. A communication map is when you think about all the different forms of resource, of outreach that you're willing to use. So, of course, we've got the phone. We've got email. Hopefully, you've got snail mail and FedEx. Maybe you've got drop-ins and drop-offs. LinkedIn. You know, all these different things, right? Social networks or whatever. And you kind of think them out. Like, all right, here are all the different things. And then in each category, like, visualize a drop-down menu. So with email, I have different flavors of email. I gave you guys some of them before. Ideas, resources, inviting them. Well, an intro email, an evidence email, a trigger event type of email. And picture that as your drop-down menu. Those are all your choices there. And do it with each category. Think about, okay, if I were to pick up the phone, what are my different flavors or different ways I can court them? And you come up with a few, like I would say for now, just like try to come up with like three different variations of each form of outreach so that it's a different flavor. Now what you do is you create a map, a communication map. And it's very simple. You're going to think three moves at a time from the time that you are beginning the courtship. So if I want to hopefully get in front of Mary, maybe my first thing that I'm going to do is going to be an intro email. So I'm going to send that out, and then I'm going to think about how long do I wait before I do, like, touch number two. Hopefully it's a few days. So wait maybe 48 hours or something like that. Now maybe I'm going to do a certain type of phone call. Maybe it's my intro phone call. If I don't hear back from Mary after X amount of time, whatever that magic amount is, but again, we don't want to be aggressive with the cadence here. Then what I'm going to do at that point, well, I've done phone and email. I'm not going to just keep forwarding the same email or just keep doing the same thing. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Mary hates both email and phone. Imagine that, like somebody who's not motivated by the things we're motivated by. So I might then go over to LinkedIn and try there. Maybe if that doesn't work, maybe I'm going to look and see if there's a way I can get a warm intro from somebody who's a mutual friend or whatever. I mean, this, maybe I'm going to use creativity, like to kind of have some fun and just be a breath of fresh air. But the point is, I'm thinking in threes. And when I get that first group of three done, then whether it be in the same sitting or maybe in a few days from then, I'm going to think about my next three touches. What are those going to look like? And just like keep adding to that. And then what you're going to find is that you're going to create a generic type of map that you could probably use with, like, I don't know, like good 85-90% of the people you're trying to get in front of. And what's really cool about a communication map, so you know, is that communication, the quality of that communication is going to be way better than the way we usually communicate. And here's how we usually communicate in sales. When the little alert goes off in the CRM, we're reaching for the phone or our fingers are going to the keyboard to fire out an email. We're deciding on what we're going to say. Now, you might be witty. You might be awesome with the written word. You might be a regular wordsmith. But I'm telling you, when you think it out in advance, the quality, it's like it does like a 10x on the quality of that communication. So that's kind of what I have for you folks. Three things that really will make you like that. That these email tactics are old and tired and make you sound needy. And coming across as needy is never a good thing in sales. It just doesn't really help you at all. And we don't want to position ourselves that way. So if this appealed to you and you want to get lots and lots of ideas for your emails, and you want to get like some really cool sales email templates, I have 70 tactics and 20 sales email templates that I'm going to be sharing this Thursday, March 8th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It's called 70 Ways to Rock Your Sales Emails. Some of the ideas that I'm going to be sharing 4 ways to get email addresses without having to buy like a list or having to pay for it. We're going to talk about how to find opportunities where there's actually a 400% higher probability of closing that deal. And if you want me to say it another way, if you've ever been in situations where you wish that person you were courting had a higher degree of urgency, we're going to talk about how you can find people who have a much higher degree of urgency to begin with. They're predisposed to buying. Imagine that. We're going to talk about 12 subject lines to avoid, and then also 12 better subject lines. I'm going to take you through a 4-step messaging framework that's going to help your emails actually get opened. Very quick timeout on that one. The average open rate right now is at about 21%, which means, like, if my math serves me well, hang on while I like grab my calculator, it means that 79% of the emails that we send out in sales aren't even read or opened, and you know, I mean, that's not a good place. So we're going to talk again about how you can have a messaging framework that'll get your emails opened, read, and imagine this, responded to. We're going to talk about 2 psychological techniques that work like a charm. And when I say psychological techniques, I'm not about sleazy things or manipulative things or things that are deceptive. I hate that stuff. Again, remember, I'm always talking about a courtship. And you're never going to be able to court somebody successfully if they don't trust you or if they think you're a sleaze. We're going to talk about 12 ways to send an email that's more convincing and believable, and that can really head off a lot of the skepticism that people have about just like maybe your industry or about your service or even about your company. So if you'd like to learn more, I would suggest that you do it now, because we're going to be shutting down registration very, very soon. But if you want to learn more and you also want to get those 20 sales email templates, and by the way, even if you can't make it and join us live, remember, I always record every webinar that I do, and in addition to delivering it live, we send out the replay like an hour after we're done, so people get it like hot off the press. So this way you could actually watch this like you would like an on-demand type of movie, minus most of the cursing and all of the nudity, by the way. You'll be able to just kind of, at your leisure, be able to go through it. So if you want that and the 20 sales email templates, why don't you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.